This is a Glassbox Media Podcast.
Together because we haven't recorded in person in like 2.5 weeks.
Feels like forever.
I know, honestly. It does feel like forever.
Because you've been gone.
I've been gone.
It's been wild, I think, couple weeks for all of us. I'm actually glad we pre-recorded because I think that, well, both Christina and I have had a lot of interviews lately. It's been so it's been busy with that. School's been crazy. Keegan, you've been out of town because of your Black Arts Alliance with Southern Missouri. So it's been busy.
Busy. But we were just saying, you know, talking before we started recording, like busy's good. Like even though I sometimes get like worn out, I would rather be busy, especially if it's good busy. If it's busy doing things that like you enjoy doing, that you like to do, you know, learning new things.
Yeah, the alternative being like the, I mean, I saw a meme that I identified with so much. There was like, did not expect to spend my 30s like as one of the grandparents from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes, my hottest years. True. I saw that today and I was like, word. You know, I was watching Last Tango in Halifax. And there's a scene at the end where they're in a club and I cried.
Yeah.
Like I actually cried. I was just like, I miss dancing. I was like, I miss being with people.
Yeah, I choked up today talking to Eric about karaoke.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's not coming back anytime soon. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be house karaoke, no mics involved kind of thing. We did have our friend Lyndon and then Keegan's fiance, Tony, over.
Yeah, we're coming up on like the year anniversary of the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. So,
oh my God. It is such a weird thing to think about because it was right before my birthday. I had my birthday party planned and then I went in, I remember, like, seriously, like 2 days before my birthday party was supposed to take place.
Yeah.
And I went into like the Facebook event invite and I was like, okay guys, like everybody needs to, we're gonna do this solidarity stay at home, so I'm gonna postpone my birthday and we'll revisit it at that time. And I literally postponed it for like April 15th or something. I was like, we're gonna be back like before you
and
know
no
it
one did.
And then it's hard. Like I got to hang out with my brother a little bit. We like randomly saw him walking along Santa Monica Boulevard yesterday, and so I was like, get in. And so I picked him up and talked with him about stuff, and he's like, yeah, they're going to restaurants again. And I'm like, bro, no. I'm like, ugh, just be careful because it's not over yet. So please don't. But I mean, you know, it's West Hollywood and is like mostly closed now. It was such a big, open, vibrant neighborhood. And now it's just.
But you're right. Like the idea of just going, even just to the grocery store. Like, I had to pop into Gelson's the other day, and I was just like, I was like the 6 foot, like, police. I was just like, in my own mind, I wasn't saying anything to anybody else, but I was just like being incredibly overcautious, like, which is good, I'm certain, but it just, it makes me so nervous to even think about going, like you said, to a club to go out at all. I'm just like, my headspace could not allow it yet. Even if they told me it was okay.
Oh, my God. I remember telling you guys about watching Kenny JD, who does those like bad movie breakdowns on YouTube. And last week she did Showgirls, which, whoa, I haven't seen that in a while. Wow. But there's that scene in Showgirls where Elizabeth Berkley licks the pole.
Oh.
Like, as part of the dance, you she like have. Licks up the pole. And I was like, oh, God. Like, I like started to get hot. Like, I was like sweating. Like, oh.
You gave me chills, actually. I feel like, okay, so we're all Midwesterns here. I've like legit like eaten dirt at one point in my life. Like,
sure, sure.
It's not that I was like a dirty person before, but I was never like once been concerned about germs.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
I feel like I have like an iron immune system. But now, after a year of you're dealing like, with wash your hands, got it right. Wash your groceries, disinfect everything, the air is poisoned. Like, I literally like that the idea of licking a pole that other people's everything has been all over it literally it makes me want to crawl out of my skin. It was upsetting.
And even having watched it, knowing like, hey, this is a movie, like there were definitely like things on set, she definitely had it cleaned before she did that, it doesn't matter. Like, there is, I'm not putting my tongue on anything, which kind of brings us to an interesting conversation that I feel like we've had a few times on this podcast about like dating in the pandemic. Like,
oh yeah.
Are you going to put your tongue in someone that you don't know very well? Like, I can't imagine.
Listen, I hoed it up with the best of them. I was A+,
try all the things,
putting it out there, was happy to experiment and be very, very free with my mouth. And I feel like if I was single now and was dating, I would be.
That better be the name of this episode. Free with my mouth.
Free with my mouth. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I can't. Like, I can't even think about those things at all. Like, I just, I mean, making out with a stranger or putting any appendage in my mouth.
That, the guy of someone that came to a date with, like, flip-flops.
Nope.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, nope, not going to be free with my mouth. Not anymore. Nope, nope, nope.
No, it's true. I wonder if, I really feel like dudes who live in vans are possibly going to take a hit from COVID related fallout of like just being like, I need you to have a bed. I need it to look clean.
Right.
Like, at least bare minimum. I can't, like, if we're going to share a bed with your sheepdog in your Keegan. VW van, absolutely van. Not. No.
Oh my gosh. Well, at least you can roll down the windows. You have like fresh air. It's not like, you know, a studio apartment in K-Town.
Oh, dear. And also, I do want to say, like, I actually think that van life, fine. I don't have a problem with the tiny home living. I'm just saying, I feel like the bar was pretty low for most people in the dating world as far as just like, sure, you know, like, I'll try this.
You just got a clean life trigger. Like, you're just like, how clean can that possibly be?
It can't be that clean, because if you're doing everything in there... You know, and if you're taking me back to your van to smash, like, how many strange vaginas have been in this van, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. It's not even like STDs that worry me anymore. I'm just like,
just
like,
the germs.
Just the germs. Germs in general. Germs have turned me off to dating. Just no thank you.
Oh,
don't even
gosh.
Shake hands. You just go in with the elbow. Nice to meet you.
Oh, gosh. Okay, bye. Which is like possibly the least sexy thing of all time. Like the elbow handshake is like probably the most. No one looks hot doing that. Like, it's never been sexy. Literally no one could do it and make it sexy.
No, that is the number one not sexy greeting. The number two is the hug with the tap.
Tap hug.
The tap hug.
Side hug and tug and the hug. Should we fuck, marry, kill greetings?
The side hug. Well, I think we've had this conversation about whenever hug. When I was in the church. Yeah, the Christian hug from the side, hug. The hand hug. Yeah, the hand hug is the least sexy greeting of all time.
True.
The hand hug takes the cake above the elbow dap, you know? Like... Wow. The gently placing your palms together and but
I don't,
dirty.
I don't think the handshake comes back from this. I think that's a relic of the past. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
God,
can you imagine shaking a stranger's hand anytime soon? That's not a 2021 goal of mine. I'll see you maybe in 2023.
Carry Purell on me at all times. So I just feel like if I did, it would be, there's no way to not offend that person because I will shake your hand, but I'm immediately in my purse with my Purell and wiping that shit right off. It's like when you used to wipe that kiss from your mom off. Like, don't know.
Ugh. Dude, did your mom ever used to put her fucking finger and or thumb in her mouth, in her mouth, and then take spit to clean, in quotes, something on your face? Oh, I can't.
My grandmothers did that. That was a real grandma move in my family. I don't think my mom ever did that, but like, gross.
Yeah.
Your mouth germs.
My dad, when we were really, really little, did something that I might actually throw up in describing to you guys
now. Oh, no.
Where he would hold us down as kids.
It's like torture.
No.
And then.
Did he spit on you?
Put our nose in his mouth.
Oh.
It is the worst. If you think wet willies are the worst, that is the worst. It was.
Oh my God.
One time when my little brother was a baby, my grandma was there and she was holding him up above her face, like holding him up in the air. And he was like dribbling drool and it went into her mouth. But it's like she didn't even try to avoid it. It was just like she was like, yeah, it's fine. And I was like, that is the grossest thing I've ever fucking seen. I didn't say that because I didn't say it like that because I was like seven. But I was like, that's disgusting. And she was like, what? It's fine. And I was like,
But that is what making out is. And that is, when you think of that, making out with a stranger, is that fucking drool in your mouth.
Oh God.
Oh, Cassie, I'm sorry. We can't talk about spit. She's literally like gray right now.
Well,
we
got to change the subject. I have to say, like, I even feel that way about, like, granted, I have not been single for a very long time, but blowjobs also, like, they weird me. Blowjobs with strangers weird me out because, like, I'm like, I have no way of knowing how clean any of that is, like any of that situation is, and I'm putting it in my mouth.
Okay,
in my mouth.
I gotta be honest with you. Oh, I'm gonna say something wild. Oh, y'all are gonna be disappointed in me.
Oh no!
I would rather put a stranger's dick in my mouth than kiss them, and I don't know if that makes me Julia Roberts, but something about a penis is cleaner to me than a lot of people's teeth.
I don't know. Because like at least your teeth, you should be in theory brushing or cleaning your mouth like a couple times a day. Like in theory, most people at least brush once a day, right? At least. Right?
I feel like most cishet guys, because let me just say that's my experience, have taken better care of their penises than their teeth. In my experience.
I need the listeners to write in and weigh in on this controversy.
This is very controversial. And hey, I'm not proud of it, but like I said, I haven't had as much problem with the penis than I have with some people's
far. If I can't feel comfortable kissing you because your mouth is that gross, like we're not going downtown. Like it's just not happening. It's because
I might just have this pretty woman mentality where I feel like kissing is so intimate where I'm just like, it's just sucking it. Which is a back ass words way of
I mean it is a weird French
things,
kiss if you think of it that way.
Yeah.
It's just I can't help but think about like the pee particles. Like, I'm just like, you have to, you're putting, you have, shower. Like, is all I'm saying. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, I'm just like, I really feel like if I was single, I would have a really hard time, like, meeting somebody at a bar and then going home and going down on them, because I would be like, I know for sure we were just in a bar for how long?
Right.
How long before? How many times did you, how many beers did you drink?
God,
how many
girl,
times did you pee?
You were ruining like, everything. Oh, God.
I'm sorry. It's the most unsexy thing, but like, that's how I feel. Like, I'm just like, I would be like, can you shower before I stick your dick in my mouth? Like,
I feel like, I think that COVID has made us way less cavalier and more focused on the particulates that the human body carries around. I feel like this was not something that was very prevalent on a lot of people's minds until it could literally kill you and your grandparents. So,
you know something else I noticed since COVID? Dirty fingernails.
You haven't washed your hands.
Like, I really feel like if somebody has dirty fingernails, I'm going to, it's, I don't trust this. I don't trust this.
Well, yeah, are you going to let them finger bang you?
No.
Fucking COVID. What's under there?
You get COVID.
What is under that?
You get
what
finger
is going
COVID.
In this COVID?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You know what? I wonder, have there been studies? Like, can you get COVID through the vag? Like, hand to vag contact.
Hand to vag contact. Dude, yeah, dirty fingernails. Now there you go.
For entry.
Cassie, yeah. That is a barrier to entry for me. Yeah, that's not okay with me. It's not even like, you don't even have to try to do that. Like, if you notice, if you look at your hands and you're like, oh, I got, just take one of your other nails.
I scrub up like I'm going to go into surgery.
Yeah, that's listen, how I wash I've my noticed, hands. I've noticed it before. And I've noticed it. Like, I've been like sitting around and I look down and I'm like, oh my gosh, like why do my nails look like a little dirty? But like, if you should be noticing that stuff. And then
I chew my nails to death. They're so clean.
Devil's in the details.
Getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
Devil's in the details. Oh Lord.
Well, this was a very dirty opening.
Oh.
Yo. This, by the way, is my worst date. I'm Christina.
I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
We also have some new patrons. I think we missed a couple because we've been off for a few weeks.
Yes, we have three new ones, I believe.
Hells yeah.
Yes. So we want to give a huge shout out to Shelly, Rachel J, and Lindsay Rosen or Rousen. I don't know because I am very bad at names. But either way, let us know, Lindsay, if I got your last name, how to pronounce your last name. But we want to give you guys a huge thank you for joining us there on Patreon. If you have any suggestions for things that you would like to see on Patreon, please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Yes. And we've gotten a couple really great submissions for Tainted Love recently, but I will say I love y'all, but we've done them, so yeah, I was like, ooh, good, we've got some great like tainted love ideas, you know, true crime stories, what haven't we found? And I was like, oh man, we've already
but
done
you know
that
what
one.
I can't even blame them, girl, because sometimes I can't remember what we've done. Like, we've all been there. The three of us have been there, like, where we're looking for a new tainted love story. And we'll have to text and be like, did we do this? Did we do this? Or we have to reference our... Now we start keeping... we've started to keep a document that has all of our past ones. But prior to that, it was just like, I mean, the chances were...
Yeah,
fairly high that I could have been halfway through research on something and then been like, oh,
yeah. I've started research.
I have
on
too.
Ones that
I swear
I've
to God,
done.
I was like, this is so here. Oh, that's because I have actually done that. I have a really good idea for our fuck, marry, kill, except it would give away my tainted love story.
Yes.
Oh, are you okay with me giving it away?
Okay, well, go for it.
All right. TLC.
Yeah, do it.
T-Boz, Left Eye, and Chili.
Oh, fuck come yeah. on. Yes. Lisa Dunn, burn the house down.
Oh.
It's still one of my favorite quotes from a documentary of all time.
Yeah. Oh, so now you know what I'm doing for crazy in love. But yes.
This is actually really, really hard.
This
is hard.
This is a good one, right? I like this one.
Because my brain tells me that T-Boz is the best one to marry. Uh-huh. Like, I'm 100. Like, she seems like very,
yeah,
like marriage material.
Yep.
She seems steady and stable. But when I was growing up, like, Chili was like,
Chili is beautiful. She is hot. Legit hot.
I have the hot take.
She seems sweet.
I got the hot take.
And she does seem sweet. What?
I think she's the least attractive. Of the three, I know it's the hot take because
I know because
everybody thinks she's hot, but I'm like, she looks so basic. Where like T-Boz has a look, Left Eye has a look, like they're unique.
Left Eye is cute, man. So she's left eye, adorable. I want to put Left Eye like in my pocket,
yes,
and just like,
yeah,
Left Eye, I'd want to be like my ride or die. I just want to like hang out with her and literally just be like, what's she going to do with that?
Left Eye looks like a Pixar character. Like, she's like so, she looks like a cartoon.
Right.
She's so cute.
Yeah.
And I have to say, of the three of them, Left Eye is the most wild. So
she'd probably
be really fun to sleep with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be hot. Super hot. yeah, I think I'm going to marry T-Boz. I think I'm going to fuck Left Eye, and then like I think Chili is beautiful, I really do, but I think that out of the three of them, she seems the most like
basic,
just low-key,
just chill.
Yeah. Where I'm just like, I think I feel bored, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I kind of agree with you, because Chili was my favorite because I thought she was so beautiful, but you know, we've talked about it before, and sometimes the most beautiful people are the least exciting in bed. Mm-hmm. Like, I just have a feeling that of the three of them, she's going to try the least. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's going to be fine, but it's not going to be mind-blowing. And so for that reason, I think I'm going to do the same as you, Christina. Yeah. And no shade on Chili, because, again, she was, I wanted to be her. Like,
yeah,
I just thought she was the most beautiful person ever, but I think I'm gonna do the same as you.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer, right? I mean obviously it's not the right answer for everybody, but I have thought that Left Eye Chili or Left Eye was the hottest of the group always. I think she's fucking beautiful, she's so unique, she has such a mm-hmm. crazy awesome style about her. I've always thought she was the best looking one in the group, period. So I'm going to fuck Left Eye. I am going to marry Chili because she seems like the most down to earth. But she also seems like somebody who you could have really smart, intelligent conversations with. Like, she seems outgoing. Like, she's got a voice. Like, she's very, like, she seems like somebody you could go march with. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
She feels active.
And Chili, I think, actually would be, she'd be a very stable one to marry as well.
Sure.
Because mm-hmm. even though she, I think like she's like totally beautiful, I think that she would just be like really chill at home.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get that vibe from her. It's like she can go out and be out. And then when she's home, she's like chill.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to take it up a notch. Okay. Fuck, marry, kill. Bonus. TLC.
Okay.
En Vogue.
Salt-N-Pepa.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Stop it.
Shit.
I'm going to fuck Salt-N-Pepa because...
Oh, yeah.
Those girls are dirty with about like 50 R's.
That fucking album with none of your... Like, I was 11, 12 years old spitting those rhymes. Like,
scandal.
You could not believe. It was scandalous. I loved that album. That informed so much of my personality. I got to...
Dude, En Vogue, the same. Oof. Though. Like, for me, I knew every word T to B in that entire album.
Yep.
I think I got a fucking Vogue. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I kind of think I think I might fucking Vogue. I might marry Salt-N-Pepa.
I feel like.
And I might kill TLC. I know it ain't right.
Whoa.
I don't know what to do though.
Whoa.
Right.
Oh, man.
Hold on.
Creep was a banger. Waterfall was a banger.
Bangers.
I'm going to marry TLC. I'm going to marry TLC. No scrubs. Come on. I got to do it. Well, and also for me, I love En Vogue, but I feel like TLC shaped me a lot more.
Correct. Like, I was just going to say there's a few years and I feel like TLC maybe supplanted En Vogue.
Sorry. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it.
Look, I'm not saying. I'm just saying, for me, I mean, I have distinct memories of doing that thing where you have your cassette tape and you're like recording the top 40 and you're recording the songs that you like to make your own mixtape. And I had a bunch of TLC songs on that tape. You know what I mean? So for me, I really feel like of the three of them, TLC for me was the most formative. So I'm going to marry TLC. I'm going to fuck Salt and Peppa because I feel
Salt
like it'll
Peppa's
be
here to push it real good.
To push it real good. So I'm going to fuck them. And then no shade at all on En Vogue. Like, I love En Vogue. And I actually think, like, as a child, I really thought I was going to be this, like, super classy adult. And En Vogue, stylistically, like, woof, yes, I want to look like those women. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I wanted. So I love En Vogue. But, yeah, I think that that's what I'm going to do. Do you see how both times I couldn't bring myself to say I'm going to kill En Vogue or I'm going to kill Chili? Like, I'm just like, that's what I'm going to do, and we're going to leave it like that.
We're going to leave it like that.
Just leave it alone.
Here's who I'm fucking, who's who I'm marrying it. And there we go.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, I think I got to marry Salt and Peppa. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, wild. Mm-hmm.
You're going to end up on a tainted love with Salt and Peppa. That's what's happening. Like,
but yeah, and man, there's just too many memories. It's too. And then, yeah, I think I'm going to fuck En Vogue. That's my like top 40 hit and record.
Mm-hmm.
On the boombox, trying to get it without the DJ intro. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm going for. But man,
I know.
Oh, y'all make me want to build a playlist now.
Oh, dude.
Oh man. I'll tell you,
nostalgic as fuck right now.
You can't go wrong. I was watching a bunch. I went down a Janet Jackson music video rabbit hole. Oh,
dude. Mwah. That album, was it just called Janet? Her album, like in the 90s.
That one where it's like a sepia
tone. That like relaunched her. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hot.
Ugh, so good. Did you guys watch Framing Britney Spears yet?
Dude, don't. It's my end thing. It's the only thing I've seen that's not ER.
Okay. We'll talk about it at the end.
Okay. Well, you guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Sounds good.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
And we're back. All right, Cass, kick us off.
All righty. Okay. So this is from Reddit, and it says, this is the first date after or like post divorce, and I'm off to a flying start. I just got back home about an hour ago from a really bad date. So my first action was to take a warm bath with hot cocoa. My second was to write this post.
Okay. Self-care. I understand.
Love it.
I'm kind of like, nervous when you immediately have to bathe post-date.
Also, I'm like a little concerned about having a hot beverage in a hot bath. I really feel like you could very easily overheat, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous levels there. You're right. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Firstly, we were both a bit late because the roads are really bad tonight. Think just enough new powder to hide a thick layer of ice underneath.
Ooh, the worst.
But we're both late and we got there about the same time, so no big deal. When we get seated, he suggested ordering a bottle of wine to share. I said that I would probably have like one glass of wine. I had to drive home and he said that he had a friend who could pick him up and ordered the whole bottle.
Wow. Okay. I like that she's like, I want one glass of wine. And he's like, we're still going to get the whole bottle. All right. Go ham.
He's like, nah, I'm in all the way. While we're waiting for the wine, he started talking politics. It didn't take long for me to give the let's agree to disagree line.
Oh.
Apparently, he thinks that's stupid. Apparently, people should talk these things out until they come to a consensus. I mean, good idea in theory. But in practice, especially when we aren't even politicians who are making decisions, this is, you know, absurd, right? Then the wine arrived and we ordered dinner. We finished his portion of the bottle before the appetizer even arrived.
Whoa.
So we ordered another bottle. Later, a third.
You guys, look, as somebody who likes to drink, I enjoy drinking, right? Like, yeah. And I can polish off a bottle like throughout an evening.
Me right? too.
But not before appetizers.
But not before appetizers. And also something feels so uncomfortable about drinking that much more than the person you're with.
Like, oh, yeah. Right?
Like you only pace drink yourself. Like that if you're with people who are drinking like that with you. Like, I would not do that if the person I was with had one glass of wine. Because that is the
reddest of flags. It's the reddest of flags.
We just found out, and I don't know how. It's 2021. Last Friday, we had red wine with dinner, and we just had one bottle in the house. And it was going great. We had a great dinner. We finished the bottle. And I was like, really wish we had more. I found out that you can Postmates.
Oh, yeah.
Just bottles of wine. And I was like, how did I go through all of 2020 not realizing this pertinent information?
Though so, probably good, honestly.
Probably like, good.
I don't need to make my access to alcohol any easier in like, reality, you know?
Like, wow. So 2020 would have been a lot different if I had known that information. And, you know, whether it be good or bad, I was just like, holy shit.
Well, now you know.
It came to our door, not 15 minutes later. It was magic. I'm like, we put a helicopter on Mars and we can get me a bottle of red on a Friday.
We're living in the future, truly. Exactly. We are living in the future. The future is now, my friends.
This is an exciting time to be alive. As long as you like living inside. As he got drunker, he became even more argumentative.
Oh, no. Was he drinking red? Was he Christina while drinking red wine?
oh, my God. Is this Christina?
She went out on a date with me.
Getting red in the face, talking about how we're living in a simulation.
At the end of dinner, he suggested we go to a bar to drink even more, I suppose. I declined, so he called his fictitious friend for a ride. No answer. He dialed a few more numbers and then said he guessed he'll just drive himself home. No. Hell no. No fucking way. Not after almost three bottles of wine. This guy was a heavy drinker because as he was walking fairly normally, I said I'd drive him and asked him where he lived. He said that he was just down the highway a bit. So I put him in the passenger seat of my Honda Civic. Just as I'm buckling my seatbelt, he asks if I could tow his car so that he'd have it in the morning.
My guy.
In your Honda Civic. Second
in
of
the
all,
snow.
We were just talking about inventions like Uber, Lyft. These also exist in the year of our Lord 2021. So
this did not happen in the year of our Lord 2021. However, I do believe these things existed, but
taxis existed.
I'm not sure in the area that they're at. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like they're maybe not in like a big city.
You know, the other thing though, look, you're asking me to drive your drunk ass home in my Honda Civic on the ice. Like you can stay. Look, I'm going to deuces. You can stay here till you sober up. Hopefully they don't give you any more booze because you clearly can't handle it. Or call a taxi or wait for your friend to pick up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't put me in this position because, like, of course, I don't want someone to drive in those conditions.
But then there's the issue, right? Is if you're stuck with this guy and you have his keys and he's got a car there, how do you stop him from driving? That's
the
thing. So I get where she's coming from, where she's like, this isn't about either of us at this point. This is about maybe possibly
other
saving
people.
Other
yeah.
people.
Yep. Yeah. Right? But that infuriates me that he would put her in that position in the first place. That's
exactly
bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
So next, he asked me if I could drive his car, some V8 pickup, and tow mine. First of all, you asked me to tow your V8 pickup in my Honda Civic? Fuck you. Like, obviously. What the fuck? I have never towed a car in my life. Towed a lawnmower lawnmower maybe once, and that was complicated enough. I certainly did not intend to start with an unfamiliar car at night in horrible conditions. So I told him, I'm just so, you know, in fewer words, he wasn't happy, but I had his keys in my pocket. And so he acquiesced. Turns out that when he said he lived just down the highway a bit, what he actually meant was 20 miles. The roads were so bad that it took almost 40 minutes to get there. Then the idiot wasted another 20 finding his apartment because he had only moved in 2 weeks ago. Oh, seriously, though,
my
there are
God.
Two streets in that entire town. How hard can it be to figure out where you live? Then, of course, I had to drive back home as snow continued to fall rapidly. Oh, and there was a car crash, too. That whole trip took more than 2 hours. The dinner lasted maybe one. So I spent more than 2 to 3 hours of my day, 2 of 3 hours of my day, making sure the guy didn't get behind the wheel drunk.
Can we also address the fact that he drank 3 bottles of wine in 1 hour?
Okay, that's thank you.
A lot.
I just thought about that. That's such a good point.
That's banana sandwich for real.
Dude, my ABC class would say that though that server or whatever would be in trouble because like in an hour, you're only supposed to have like a drink per hour to be able to process it and be like functional. Like more than that, you're just compiling.
Yeesh. 3 bottles of wine. I mean, maybe the server thought that she was drinking wine too. I don't know. But still, especially on a snowy night like that, when you know these people have to get home somehow.
As someone who likes wine, that doesn't even sound like a good time. Like, because you drink that much wine, huh?
My stomach hurts.
Yeah. Well, and also my head hurts because I think, did they say red wine? Like, if you drink that much red wine in an hour, your head is hurting. Like, you're not feeling good. Like, I don't, oof, oof.
Oh, and you are going to be on the toilet next day for sure. Oh. With them red wine shits. Right? Is that just me?
Wine shits.
You know, I've never noticed. But I bet I will moving forward.
Yeah, dude, I'll tell you what. Because I can drink some red wine. And, like, the next day, it's like Machine Gun Kelly down there.
Stop it. Oh, no.
Please never call it that again. That's horrible.
Okay. I have a email from a listener. It's the title is The Twilight Zone Hookup Who Fancied Himself a Musician.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. We've all been there. Yes?
Yes. Okay, first things first, I'm a new listener and I absolutely love the pod, girls. I'm a 35-year-old gay man and I live in Mesa, Arizona. I've been sober for 11 years. Ooh, congrats. That's awesome. This weird date story happened back in 2017. Also, it's kind of long. I do profusely apologize, but for good reason. Enjoy the fuck show.
Woo!
So, I meet this guy on Adam for Adam. We chat back and forth for a couple of days and finally decide to meet up. He drives to my house and picks me up. When I got into the car, I first notice that he's wearing running shorts and a warm-up suit jacket that was unzipped with no shirt underneath.
Oh.
Okay.
She came fancy is what.
Rocking upper body with a little bit of trim chest hair, so I reach over and have a feel. Very nice.
I'm sorry, did they say where they were at? Like, this is a very specific kind of attire that I feel like is not appropriate for most places.
He said he was in Mesa, Arizona.
Yes, but he also said, like, he drove to the author's house and picked him up. So he's in his car and he's just, like, shorts and a unzipped shirt showing off a rockin' bod.
All right.
Like, picks him up. And so, and even though he was dressed as though he had just been to the gym, he smelled like nice manly body wash, maybe Old Spice or something. So that's good. Next thing I notice, he's brought his dog with him, a little white dog, perhaps a Bichon Frise. Yes. It climbs from the back seat to the front and sits in my lap. very friendly and affectionate.
All right, you're winning points.
Exactly. I'm like, first
the
of all,
the dog is winning points for sure.
I'm like, you smell good. You have a rocking upper body and a cute dog. I'm like, so far, I don't see what's so bad. Now we're on the way to his house. After a pretty quiet drive with a little bit of small talk, we get to his house, which is a nice, fairly spacious one story. Up until this point, I assumed he lived in his own house or apartment. Nope. The moment we pull up, he tells me he lives with his grandmother. And that they live on two separate sides of the house and that she's in her room asleep. Okay. Potential red flag.
Well, okay. Look, I'm not right off the bat going to be like, this is a deal breaker, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of reasons your grandmother could be living with you. And so I'm not going to say that. But it is kind of odd, I feel like, to have a first date. Why plan a first date at your place?
That's right.
If you know your grandma is at home sleeping.
Well,
like, meet out somewhere, get a coffee, do something else. I don't know.
It's also, for me, I'm like, first date or just hooking up. Mm. So if they're just hooking up, I also feel like that would be a potential red flag for me that someone else is in the house, especially somebody of a different generation, would be uncomfortable for me, where I'd be like, there ain't nobody at my place. Let's just do this over here versus the potential awkwardness of something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Agree. Yeah.
I also had a whole bunch of nightmares last night about living with the two of you guys in a very haunted house. And
oh, shit.
You didn't believe me that it was haunted. And
I believe
you. There was an old lady that was like stalking me throughout the house. So I actually... I'm getting like sweaty.
So you're like sweating.
Is the haunted grandmother?
No.
Anyways, I couldn't get, it was one of those dreams too where it scares you and wakes you up and go right back to sleep and go right back into the dream several times, which
I
is
really
the worst.
Feel like we should have discussed this at the top of the show.
Yeah.
I didn't think about this until I started reading this. Anyways.
I have 1,000 questions. Anyway.
Okay. So he asks if that bothers me, I think, for a sec, and ask if she knows he's having company over. He says yes, and I let it slide. So we go inside. He says he's going to take a shower, and I can go wait in the office.
What? What?
So,
okay. Did you not? Okay. Going back to our earlier conversation, at least you know it's clean. All right? So there's that.
There we go.
Before you put it in your mouth. At least you know it's clean. So I appreciate that. However.
True.
Exactly. So I say I'm going to set my bag down and go have a smoke outside. He says, okay. So I go set my bag down, grab my travel ashtray and head outside, which is very considerate. I feel like a travel ashtray instead of just.
Yeah.
Anyways, as I pass by the bathroom in the hallway where he showered, the door is open. I think, ooh, I'm going to get a sneak peek. Nope. The shower has a frosted glass door, so I can't see anything. Damn. So I go have my smoke, call my friend to say I'll likely be home late. I go back in, and he's coming out of the bathroom wearing a towel. He says he's going to his bedroom to change. He comes out about 10 minutes later. There's some more uncomfortable small talk for a few minutes before I decide to attempt to push the evening into the sex direction as intended. He agrees. We finally go into the bedroom. And here's where we entered the Twilight Zone.
Oh, no.
This is this next part. I read it beforehand. I'm like, this is so awkward. We each get undressed. We lay down on his bed. We start playing with each other. I ask him if he likes to be rimmed. He says yes. He flips over. I start going to town. While I'm doing my thing, I noticed he won't stop clenching his cheeks. I assume this is because he's nervous. So I continue. After a while, he wakes up. Yes.
No.
Wakes
what?
Up. And he says, what are you doing?
What?
I'm confused at this statement, having had no idea he checked out previously. I say, rimming you? He says, oh. He then asked if I'd like to watch porn.
What?
I said, sure. This is so, like, this is making me so awkward. Having had a few awkward, like, we're not on the same page sexual encounters, it cannot be stated how much it makes you want to crawl out of your skin. But, so, whilst we were watching porn, I'm starting to get in the mood, and before long, I'm saluting like a space missile. I look over, and he's completely flat. Then, what? He starts acting kind of sketch, stopping the porn and looking at the bedroom door as though he heard someone coming. Ooh. But the house was silent as a tomb. He does this about 3 or 4 times before asking me, do you hear something? I say, no, no one's there. Then he decides to shut off the porn and we just lay there for like 10 minutes.
Oh my God. Oh, did he drive there?
No, he got picked up.
Oh, no, no. Call an Uber. Go home. I don't want to be in this situation.
I know. We've all,
I mean, like, oh, my gosh. I can remember times in, like, high school or right out of high school before Uber and Lyft were a thing and being trapped. Mm-hmm. Like, you went somewhere with someone and you're like, I can't leave. Like, I'm just stuck here. Oh, the worst feeling. Oh, my gosh.
But this is so much, like, mixed signals.
It's weird. And first,
it's really weird, so weird. Where I would just be like, you know what? I'm going to bat. Like, it kind of seems like it's just kind of seems like a bad situation. There's so many red flags to me that I would just bounce. Also, haunted grandma. Not into it.
100% in your dream. Yeah.
Total haunted grandma vibes. And I'm really scared. So then I say, what would you like to do now? He thinks for about 3 minutes and then says, I think I'd like some milk and cookies.
What's happening? Is he on mushrooms? What's happening?
It's the haunted grandma. I say, okay.
I think I'd like some milk and cookies.
Again, I'm flabbergasted at this response. We get dressed, go to the kitchen for some milk, coffee cakes, and cookies, bring them back in the office. Eat in near silence, save for his occasional, this is good.
What the fuck? I'm so uncomfortable. We've had a lot of really bad dates on this podcast, but this one makes me like want to crawl out of my skin because I'm just so uncomfortable. Like, what's going on?
This is so awkward.
Is this a Black Mirror episode? Did Jordan Peele direct this date?
Oh my God. That's exactly how I feel.
This is so awkward. I then suggest it's time for me to go home. He says, all right. I collect my bag and we go out to the car and begin the drive home. A few minutes later, he says to me, you know, I'm a DJ and I mix my own music.
No, sir.
I say, really? That's pretty cool. What genre of music do you mix? He says, pop and hip hop. Would you like to hear some? I say, sure.
No.
He takes a CD out of a case from the center console and pops it in. The sounds that came from the speakers were reminiscent of when Ross from Friends used to mix all kinds of random sound effects to a beat.
That's so specific, and I know exactly what he's talking about. Like, he's just like, beep, beep, boop, boop. Like, he's just hitting a bunch of different things. It's like a cat meowing, like the sound of an orca whale. Like, absolutely not.
This motherfucker thinks he's girl talk. He's all like, beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop,
meow. Y'all. But this was more like someone who could sing, but not well, with a very basic Casio keyboard, Europop-esque kind of beat. The lyrics didn't even make sense. Sort of like someone who was on drugs trying to make sense of English words. I had to listen to this cacophony for half an hour while politely bopping my head as though I was digging the music. We finally arrived at my house. The fever dream was over, and I could go digest this and go to bed. He stops up front. I get out. He says, what did you think? As politely as I can, I say, it was good. He says, tonight was fun. We should do it again sometime.
No,
I say, uh-huh. We say our goodnights. I go in to reflect upon what just happened. happened. My housemates asked me how my date went. All I can say is, you know, it was bizarre. I told all of them what happened and they were just as wordless and dazed as I was. And I gotta say, I'm pretty wordless and dazed well.
So the dog was the highlight, is what you're telling me.
That's what I heard.
Oh my gosh. Oh, no. That was uncomfy. I feel uncomfy by that.
That was the thing that happened.
Okay. This one, I have to say, just made me laugh. And I can understand if maybe it's just me who thinks that this is funny. But okay. I read it and I was like, this is funny. Okay. So I am obsessed with hummus.
You already got me.
You had me at hummus.
Oh, no. I have it for breakfast and view myself as a hummus connoisseur. I'm sorry. I had to pull myself together. Okay. Because I'm just, it's so weird to me. Okay. I have bought every brand of hummus and taste tested it. In fact, I just had a hummus just before this. Anyway, I go on this date with a cute guy. And after a few drinks, we're both a bit peckish, but don't want to leave the bar because the music is on point. On the snacks menu, they had pita bread and chips. I proceed to ask the waiter what dips they have, knowing full well I'm going to order hummus for us, because who doesn't love hummus? Turns out my date not only hated it, but was allergic to garlic and couldn't eat it. I felt like I got smashed with the Acme anvil from Roadrunner. I wasn't myself for the rest of the date. Who hates hummus? Honestly, we ended up having
garlic allergy. Do you know how many? I mean,
the garlic allergy would be a problem. It really would be a problem because I put so much garlic in all of my food. But I just
deal breaker.
Yes. Okay. We ended up having pita bread and eggplant dip. The experience was bizarre because I didn't realize how the hummus issue would impact my cognitive functioning during the date. Like, I started to go on about chickpeas for a bit. I think I talked about Middle Eastern. I think I talked.
This is a shame receipt.
I think I talked about Middle Eastern cuisine in general for a bit too, ? There was no second date for obvious reasons, but because I still think this guy is cute, I looked up what brand makes garlic-free hummus. I sent him a message about it after. He didn't reply.
Oh my God. I just think that's so funny.
I'm so glad you guys also thought it was funny, and I'm so sorry because I'm sure it was really annoying to listeners to hear me not get through that. But I just read it and I was like,
could you imagine being that guy who was like, my date was obsessed with fucking hummus?
Imagine, like, what a weird thing to be like super hyper fixated about, to the point where, like, she went home, she couldn't focus on the date because all she was thinking about was the fact that he didn't like hummus. Then she went home and then you get a text from this person, like, after the date with like a recommendation for garlic free hummus,
and he's like, it's just not for me,
it's not my thing, I just don't like it. Like,
she's like, no, but there's other kinds of hummus. Have you heard of this kind of hummus?
Yeah. Have you tried the roasted red bell pepper?
Oh, that's so good. I like the pine nut one.
Jesus. Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Short and sweet and weird.
Anytime someone says, I consider myself a blank connoisseur, I'm like, I'm fucking in. Tell me all about it.
Hummus is such a weirdly specific thing to go like to base a personality around.
Right.
Like, your love of hummus is so strange, but whew, all right.
And there we go. Are y'all ready?
I'm so ready
for my tainted love. All right. So you guys now know that I am going to be sharing with you the tainted love story of TLC's Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Yes. Yes.
And Andre Rison.
Oh my so gosh. Good. I can't wait.
So first and foremost, just to tell you kind of like where I got some of this information.
Did you watch the True Hollywood Story?
No, I watched, there is, Lifetime just did a series called, oh shoot. Oh, I didn't go back far enough. There it is. I watched Hopelessly in Love, which is a series that is on Lifetime now. Mm-hmm. And they did, so far they've done the Lisa Lopez, Andre Rison. They did, who else did they do?
Hopelessly in
Anna
Love.
Nicole Smith and the
Marshall. Oh, yeah.
Jay Marshall, yeah.
And then somebody else. I can't remember who else. I totally flaked on it. Anyway.
I remember being like a teenager, and I think that there was some VH1 documentary.
I can't remember if it was VH1 Behind the Music or the E! True Hollywood Story. It was one or the other, but that's where that quote comes from. Like, Lisa done burned the house down.
Lisa done burned the house down.
Mm-hmm. Dude, this was actually really good, this documentary. And I had never heard of this Hopelessly in Love documentary until I started looking into. I was like, I want to do Lisa Lopez. I know I want to do the Left Eye story because I was like, that story is something that lives in infamy from mm-hmm. that time period. Right? Yep. Like, if you were around in the early aughts, you couldn't have escaped this story if you wanted to.
It was a cautionary tale as well.
Oh, yeah. It totally was. And think back, like...
Well, it was that waiting...
Think back about what you know about that story. It's kind of like how I feel about Brittany Murphy. The tabloids and what they have delivered to us as the message of that story is so crazy, you know?
Yeah, it's also like the 90s were that waiting to exhale decade where it's like
totally.
if a guy's cheating on you, you better fucking burn it
down. I feel like there was a period of time between Angela Bassett and Waiting to Exhale and Carrie Underwood Before He Cheats where mm-hmm. it was just like no holds barred. Like if somebody fucks you over, you're gonna fuck up their life. Yeah
and light it on fire. Totally.
Yep.
So a little bit of backstory on Lisa Lopez, just to give you guys, like, I feel like it's important to understand like who these people are and where they came from as to how they get into this relationship in the first place. Right. So Lisa Lopez is the first of three children. She's the eldest, and her father was in the military. He ran the household like a military. There's stories where she's like, it didn't matter what time of night. She's like, it could be 3:30 in the morning. And if something was off, he would like line up the whole fucking family. And
literally,
be like,
why? Huh. Like, oh my yeah. God.
But she said he was like a drill sergeant. And she explains it like, she's like, her sister Raindrop, which is the best name ever. And it's R-E-I-G-N drop. I don't know why I super love that for her. I love that journey for you. She describes that he's like, even said to his kids, he's like, you know, I wasn't put on earth to love you. I was put on earth to discipline you. So that's the kind of household that
they
grew up in.
Why have children?
Honestly.
I don't understand it. Why have kids? Like, for what?
To discipline them, Keegan. Didn't you hear me? Gosh. You don't
pay attention.
Sounds so fun. Like, I can't wait to have kids just to discipline them. That sounds like such a fun adventure.
Nope.
But no, not at all. But he was a military guy, so they had traveled around a little bit, but mostly they were in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and that's kind of where the family had, you know, was, that was like kind of home. Okay, that's home base for them. And you know, everybody that describes, like, her mom was on this documentary, who is a doll, and like her sister and her cousin, and like they're all describing this household as like I can't imagine. Like, it's a walking on eggshell situation. He's not only a drill sergeant with the kids, but he's incredibly fucking abusive with the her mom, and like incredibly abusive. And so this is an extremely abusive household, so abusive and so toxic that they even got kicked off of, it was like Fort Dix or something. They got kicked out of the actual
base?
Like the, yes, off the base, the living situation on base.
Do you know how bad it has to be for you to get kicked off of a military base? I've lived on military bases. Like, you have got to be so flagrantly abusive, like out and out. Because look, I no shade in general, but I can just say there's a lot of shit that goes on military bases that as long as you keep that shit quiet enough, nobody is going to do anything. So if they were doing, if it was that bad, it must have been bold.
Yep. Yeah, apparently it was. And the military police had been called to their place so too many times. Basically, was kind of the result of, and they were just like, you cannot fucking live here anymore. We've been called to your house way too many times.
Yeah, you've pushed it to the point where we can no longer claim to not know that something's happening here. So
you cannot live here anymore.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like her background is, you know, like, and it's scary, right? I mean, they lived in this really scary situation, and at one point, Rain tells the story about how, like, when they were younger, they saw this movie called The Burning Bed.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. In which they had a conversation with each other, which was like, you know, I wish I could do this to Dad. Like, this would be a way we could escape him. Like, that's how
that's terrible. The situation was. God, for that them. Is so sad.
So sad. So, you know, this is their, like, you know, they see the burning bed. They see this. This is like an early memory for both of them. Imagine this is what's setting you up for future relationships.
Yeah.
You know, this is where your headspace is. You know what I mean? But, you know, Lisa kind of, you know, always her mom describes her. She was always very special. She was always super talented. And she was always like into acting and singing and things like that. And so she had hooked up with this guy who was like, I can make you famous. And her pursuit of fame took her to Atlanta, where she ended up meeting T-Boz. And they started working with... they were signed to LaFace by Pebbles and started TLC. And that, it's wild. This all happens. They get signed to LaFace. They get signed. TLC gets signed. And that very same day, she finds out her father had been murdered. So this is like, yeah.
Wow.
So this is all like the little bit of the backstory behind Lisa.
Yeah. And,
like, and
that's
got to
be really hard too, because no matter how hard things were or how much you may have thought about stuff like that, to have it end that way where there were so many things so like unresolved in that relationship, yes. I feel like you would carry a lot of emotional baggage from that.
100%. And to be fair, like, they do kind of describe, like, of the children, she was the closest to her father. So even though they had like this toxic relationship, it seemed as though that, and I can understand that. I can relate to that. There is this the dichotomy that we've talked about before a million times of an abusive relationship where you're like, I hate who you are and what you do, but I also love you.
You're still
and
my dad.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. You're still my dad. Right. And then I think that she technically was the closest to him, but she's also the one, like Rain said, she's like, Ronald, her brother and I, like, never got into any kind of abusive relationships, but Lisa kind of seemed as though that she was almost magnetized toward that. And I can understand that. Like, I think that there's people who are just like, this is what I know, and that's what love equals, you know?
Yeah. I feel like
it's
often,
passion and fire and fierceness and anger.
I feel like you either lean into that or you're like, I'm never ever gonna do that. Like, it's kind of like one or the other. You push
was she
forward.
Also the oldest, what you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more common for that.
I mean, it does. And like I said, it does make sense. Like, you have this skewed idea because you've been trained your whole life that love equals discipline equals I'm not here to love you. I'm here to discipline you. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the things that are in your head. And as though, and you know, you're scared. You know, you're scared of that life. You know, it's scary to live in that situation. But at the same time, it is what you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's hard to
deprogram that.
Your love map would be all messed up. And you would equate, like, okay, society in the world is telling me that this person, my dad, is here to protect me and love me. And he's telling me that in order for him to protect me and love me, he needs to discipline me, or he needs to treat me this way. So that must be a reflection what of love. Right? Well, yeah.
It's also that anxious attachment style. Yes. You know, it's like, oh, it's so, so difficult to recognize those patterns that are ingrained in you from like childhood, yeah, where you're like, where it actually feels comfortable sometimes, mm-hmm, to be in a situation like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I started listening to Attached, that book. Mm-hmm. On Audible. I do recommend it. I think that everyone should listen to it to start understanding like what your attachment style is and what it comes from, and like it really does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting. But I think that this is just, you know, a really good way to frame you know, kind of where she comes from, where her headspace is, and again, what love looks like maybe to someone like her. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, you have Andre Risen, who was born in Flint, Michigan. He also had a military dad. His dad actually, though, was injured in Vietnam, and incredibly injured, you know, and not really part of his life. So he really didn't have his father as a father figure. But what he did have was a stepfather, and his stepfather was murdered as well when he was, I think, like a young teen. So he really kind of takes up the mantle as the head of the house. He's the oldest son. He's the protector. He takes care of everybody no matter what, no consequence. Like, he's going to do whatever it takes to take care of his family. And his family seems very close knit, and they're very tight. And, you know, for him, I mean, to be fair, he looked around him and his options were to make money, were to do all kinds of bad things, or he could focus on sports. And he was into all sorts of sports. He played football. He played basketball. He played everything. So he was really into it. Basketball was really his favorite, but he, you know, he was good at football. He's not a tall guy. So for him, it made more sense to go the football career. And he was, you know, his whole entire goal was to get on this path. He was goal oriented. He is like, he has a vision in mind. Like, he's got an end game. This isn't fun times for him. Like, this is payday for him. This mm-hmm. is, I can take care of my family. I can buy my mom a house. I can afford a lifestyle that we'd never know in Flint, Michigan, if it weren't for, you know, this style. And he, you know, he just has this, I have to take care of people mentality, which is probably why he's dead broke today.
Yeah.
Pause.
Yep. No, you're right.
Pause for effect. He did make it. He was recruited from high school to Michigan State, unfortunately. And
as you wear your Ohio State sweater.
It's not as bad as UM, though.
Like, no, it's
Michigan
not.
State,
it's not.
So
it's Michigan State. It's not that big a deal.
Right.
I love that where we are on that. It's fine. But he is recruited in the first round from Michigan State to the Indianapolis Colts. So he gets picked up first round right away. But you're talking about a guy who is work hard mentality, work hard, play hard. He gets that first paycheck in, and there's a story about when he rolls up to his grandfather's house in a brand new Cadillac, and, you know, he's able to buy like this beautiful piece of property for his mother with a beautiful home. I mean, so it's his first and foremost goal is that he is taking care of his family, and that is what he did right away.
Dude, I have watched so many 30 for 30s, and it's just like the number one thing that breaks my heart is that. dude, I would have done the same thing. You give millions of dollars to an 18-year-old, 19-year-old child.
Who's never been taught financial literacy. And you don't think I'm
going to wild out?
Literacy in any way? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I don't know dick all about dick all. I still am learning about money and teaching myself about like financial literacy, like you said. And it is, it's, there's so much about the system of sports in this country that is broken. Yes. It's not just like, you know, the NFL or whatever. It's you know, college sports.
It's all of it. Mm-hmm. It's all big of it. Time. It's so exploitative.
I have a exploitative. Big problem with that. Yeah, it's very exploitative. But yes, continue.
As the sports fan here, I stay completely silent, but I also wholeheartedly agree. There is a big problem. And I think that this is the thing, too, is that you're right. You just throw money at these kids. They are kids. They're like 18 years old, 19 years old. And, you know, just because you were good at sports and you made it through college does not necessarily give you a degree in finance. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's the thing that's, you know, sad for most of these guys is that they get themselves all screwed up, and then they get people around them that surround themselves with that. It's, you know, age old tale. At any rate, TLC is starting to really come out the gate, and they came out at the gate with a great record and, you know, number ones. Like they hit the ground running. They're doing well. And at the same time, this is when Andre is drafted into or recruited into Atlanta Falcons. When he gets to Atlanta, he meets this young rapper that you may have heard of named Tupac. And may have heard of him, maybe not. He meets Tupac and he's like, you know, into him, digs his sound, whatever. And he has this beautiful fucking mansion that he has built like a studio in. And Andre was always super into music. And as much as he was like really interested in maybe even pursuing a music career, obviously sports was his life. So, but he had this beautiful record studio and he's, you know, invited many people to record at his home. And again, one of those people was Tupac. So he and Tupac and Shug and all these guys became pretty close friends. Well, Left Eye, Lisa, had also started a relationship with Tupac. In fact, they had a really strong connection and a very, very intense relationship. And from all accounts, there's actually a quote in the show that really stuck out to me. One of her friends was like, you know, she was in love with Andre and Andre owned her heart, but Tupac owned her soul. And I was like, that's just such a really great way to describe their relationship.
What
her
a
and Tupac
horrible
had like a soul
to
connection
be in, though. Like,
what's that?
I can't imagine being in a position where if that was the case, like you have like somebody who you have a soul connection with, but somebody who like, oof, what a mess. Like that would be such a nightmare. I wouldn't want to be in that position at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's that position of somebody that is just like, have you ever like fallen for somebody super hard that's not good for your stability.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you're like, I can't start a family with this person. I can't build
and
a
you
future
know that
with this
rationally.
Person.
Yes.
You know that, but they're like your soul, you know? But then you have that other person that you're like, you love, and it's like a different kind of way where you're like, this is a future. This is a family. This is that
this is
deep
a life.
Love. Like, it's a life. Yeah. But yeah. Oh, that's
So that Tupac becomes kind of almost a third wheel or a third leg in this relationship, which
imagine
never meant
putting Tupac on the back burner. Like imagine having that so kind of like thing. Energy where you're just like, I'm just gonna put you on reserve, like put you on the bench. So,
here's the thing about her and Tupac's relationship: she was in love with Tupac from. And how could you not? He's a fucking gorgeous man. But very early on in the relationship, somehow he had gotten in his head that she had been with one of his best friends. And because of that, they never, ever went down that type of relationship path. But everyone describes them as being so connected in soul, like they could finish each other's sentences. But they never, ever consummated their relationship. From everybody that was interviewed, everyone. They interviewed Suge Knight from prison. They were like, no, they never consummated that fucking relationship.
I am watching this episode immediately. Oh, it's so good. Yes. When you're done. I feel like I am
it's so good.
12 and a half years old again. And yeah. I'm so happy about it.
So this is the thing, right? So, but because of that, and Andre tells this really fun story that I don't know why it just struck me, but I was like, this is such a funny little tidbit that I was just like took from it. But he was saying like he had a bunch of guys over to his house and they were watching it and a TLC video came up and he was like, all the guys were like, oh chili, so hot, she's so hot. And he's like, one of my guys was like, nah, T-Boz for me, dog. And he goes, nope, he goes, that girl right there, that left eye, he's like, she's it. And that's kind of was his first real introduction to who she was. But then through Tupac and Andre were out at a club one night and Lisa comes over to talk to them and Tupac jets, but her and Andre hit it off immediately. They instantly connect and she ends up going to his place and everyone that they interview is like, No, she shows up, but she just never leaves. Like, she's like, she live here now. Yeah. So that's how fast their relationship. I mean, you want to talk about too fast food. They are instant. Like, she goes, she never leaves. She redecorates the house. She, you know, like, it is, like, but it
in
seems
my
like
head,
everybody's
it's
happy.
Just like a beeping red light. Like, it's just yeah. like, mm-hmm. beep, 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 beep. Don't do it.
But fast and hot, you know, they're in love. And from all, I mean, Andre's mom, Lisa's mom, Lisa's sister, everybody they interview, everybody is like, they are fucking in love. There's no question about it. But we're talking about two strong, independent, passionate people who became famous, earned money young, had young,
are dealing
you know
with unresolved childhood
also,
trauma.
Also still young at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and didn't go to therapy to deal with their issues that they,
no, they went
probably
into
needed
peak.
To deal with.
No, they didn't go into therapy. They went into like peak premier career. You know what I mean? Like, so now not only have you never dealt with the stuff from your past, you are now your peak. Andre Bryson was one of the best football players at the time. You're mm-hmm. talking about fucking TLC, which was like the number one selling artists in the country. I mean, these are two premier people at their absolute peak. And they both have major trauma that has never been dealt with. And they also have never probably at this point, you know, with where they are and who they are at this time, ever been told no.
Well, and they're in their 20s, right?
Yeah.
So you babies, have the right? Even the most well-adjusted person in their 20s makes dumb relationship decisions. It's just like where our brains are at, like at that time. So, yeah, it sounds like a recipe for disaster, 100%.
Yeah. Dude, and speaking as an oldest child, there is a stubbornness that comes with being the oldest that I cannot possibly describe to you guys.
Yeah.
Guys, it's an intense, I'm the boss of you that permeates my entire personality.
Sure.
It's terrible.
And it's an always right.
Yes.
You can't be wrong.
No, it You're makes the me oldest. Awful on group projects. I'm a horrible person to work with because I'd rather just do all of it.
Yeah. Because you're the only one who can get it right. So you might as well just do it the whole thing.
Exactly.
I feel that though. I do.
Two oldest child and where with everything else you described to me, that is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it is a recipe for disaster. It just there's so many layers here. And the thing of it is too, is that again, you have grown children. That's what we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. They're adult children. Yep. You know what I mean? And with all the money in the world. And you also, again, you got peak fame. So you have Andre Rison traveling around, football career, hot stuff, could literally like sneeze in the wrong direction and get laid. You know what I mean? Like, and you got Lisa Lopez, who's one of the hottest fucking selling girls in the world. She could literally... Same thing.
Sneeze
in the wrong direction and accidentally get fucked. You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, like, yeah. Like, yeah, because, so, I mean, as much as I even talked about, like, yeah, Chili was, she was, like, the quote-unquote hot one. Nobody was kicking Lisa Lopez out of bed, ever.
No.
Nobody was kicking T-Boss out of bed, honestly.
Yeah, none of them. Like, they were successful. They were sexy. They were gorgeous. Like, yeah.
Talented trendsetters. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. They, yeah.
Epic.
Yeah.
I mean, epic, right? So again, they're like in the instant power couple. But of course, because of that comes this insane amount of jealousy, right? And so there was accusations on both sides. The thing that I will tell you is, if you remember, why did Lisa burn down the house? And what was some of the things that you remember from the story?
I don't just remember in general anything from the story, okay, except great. For... Lisa burned the house down.
Right. She burned the house down. Didn't she set like a pair of his shoes on fire or something like that? Is that right?
It was like something to do with the bathtub, I feel like.
Yeah, like in the bathtub.
It was
like
in the bathtub.
A pair of shoes in the bathtub. That's what I remember. But I, as far as why, I couldn't tell you. Other than did he cheat on her? Like, I don't remember.
So I remember for some stupid reason, I remember hearing like, oh, she did that, but he's an abusive piece of shit. Do you remember hearing about him being abusive?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I remember feeling
like I
heard
that a lot.
I remember feeling like, and look, nothing can justify doing what she did. Like, it's terrible. But I remember in my like middle school brain when I watched whatever that was on VH1 that came out after she had already died. But like, I remember thinking like, in my middle school brain thinking like, oh, this was justified.
Sure.
Whether that was cheating or abusing.
I don't remember what it was, whether it was abusive or whatever, but I remember in my middle school brain.
It. Right.
Again,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Caveat.
With the disclaimer.
Like, oh, well, he deserved it, quote
right,
unquote.
With the disclaimer of no one deserves that to happen to them. Like, as grown women now, we can recognize that. But in my middle school brain, again, you have to realize this was waiting to exhale before he cheats, like,
sure.
Where we were like, yes, queen. You
Burn
know,
it down,
like,
bitch.
Yes, yes.
I feel like we're much more evolved now. I'm glad we're not still in that burn it down phase. And, like, now we're like live like Lizzo and be like, oh, you want to act wild or whatever,
bye.
Like, bye, bitch.
Yeah
you'll exactly
rue the day,
like,
you
I'm
left
worth
me because
more.
I'm gonna live my best life from here on out and make you regret it in that way. Yeah
much healthier.
Yes.
So the thing is that I guess in my head, I had heard stories that he was abusive. So I'm going to tell you, I looked everywhere to find that information and I couldn't find anything. And from every account, what I kept running into is that they were very
toxic,
passionately hostile toward each other. And oof. I feel like that makes sense from their background.
There's an early 2000s trope. Can we talk about that? Or an early 90s, like an early teens. I feel like I definitely thought like passion, you could be kind of violent with each other. And you see it a lot in like old movies and stuff where it was just like, if it led to, it was just passionate, right? Where it's just
passion,
like, I can hit
girl,
you or shake
fine.
You or like anything. But if we end up making out at the end of it, then it's all right. And that was just passion.
That whole, it's like Ike and Tina Turner.
Thin line between oof. Love and hate bullshit where it's like,
yeah.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. When you grow up and you're just like, oh, no. This isn't love. This isn't how it's supposed to work. But I feel like that word is almost triggering for me at this point. Passionate. 100%. Because that's oftentimes what it means. It's just like abuse in a pretty dress.
Mm-hmm. Oh, girl, what a great phrase. Abuse in a pretty dress. But that being said, it really was from both sides.
Yeah.
So you have two people who are both volatile mixing together and, you know, in one time it goes this way and one time it goes that way. The other thing that Lisa was really dealing with living at the house is that Andre's sister fucking hated her. And in fact, had talked to a woman who had predicted that Lisa was using voodoo to get her brother, which she still fucking believes. That's some wild shit. That's a story. And said that there was a voodoo spell that she had put on her family. His sister Raquel had even was adamant that they weren't right for each other, and she had brought over an ex to the house, and she had cut up Lisa's clothes.
What?
Like, so shit was hostile in this house. So she's got it coming from this as well.
No. I have three brothers, and I am protective of them, and I want what's best for them. I would never interfere beyond the cutting up of someone else's property, which is fucked. I would never interfere in like trying to like bring over an ex or like do anything that manipulative. Like that is so gross.
Dirty.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's dirty. So she does eventually find out that Andre has cheated on her, and she had like, whenever she would go out of town, she would always bring Andre a teddy bear. And so they had like this collection of like thousands of fucking teddy bears. And so she got pissed off and she threw a bunch of the teddy bears into a bathtub and set them on fire. Well, it's a marble bathtub, and so nothing really happened. They had a little small fire in the house. Nobody called anybody. It was just taken care of inside. We're fine. No big deal. Nothing to see here. We're quote unquote passionate people. Right? So that's the first like real big incident.
Yeah, I mean, teddy bear murder is not a good precedent to set in our relationship.
You know how we feel about that.
Yes, Fredbear.
Yeah, that's right.
The thing is that Lisa came home from whatever she had planned that evening early and found Andre naked with this said chick. So she goes into his closet and sees all these beautiful brand new shoes that he had bought. And she starts dumping these bitches in a bathtub. That same bathtub that was marble before. But Andre didn't replace that marble bathtub with another marble bathtub. He replaced it with something way more flammable. So she set them shoes on fire. And his whole house, Rain said she was in the room when it happened. And she goes, we literally were like watching the fire thinking like, oh, she's burning his shoes in a bathtub. This ain't a big deal. And then she's like, and then we saw the fire get bigger.
It's going to go out.
And then she's like, and then the flames got higher. And then it kept getting bigger. And she's like, and then we had to fucking leave. She was like, and then the house burnt down.
And then Lisa done burned the house down.
Mm-hmm.
And that has stuck with me when I watched whatever that was. I really think I watched the one on VH1. But when I watched that, it lives. I can conjure it up in my brain right now because the tape was rolling when she got into that accident, and they have like video audio of essentially her last moments, and it's horrible. I mean, it's just so sad.
Well, you think of all the lost potential now. Like, you know, I'm going to be 40 next year. But like when I was little, you have, you know, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, you have Aaliyah, you have Janis Joplin, Amy Winehouse, all these people. And it's like you think back to your 20s and the conversation that we've just had, what a mess it is, all the mistakes you make, our own 20s, all the mistakes and all the things that we learn. And then we power through, and what I've been able to accomplish in my 30s. And so you think of the loss of what their 30s would have been.
Well, and it's
you
clearly
see what she was working on, yes, and what she could have accomplished. It's
precisely
that loss.
Mm-hmm.
That loss of like, oh,
you
okay,
see,
like,
this is a person who wanted to do better. Like, and you can tell that. Like, you know that she knew that this wasn't sustainable for her, and she wanted to make changes in her life, and she was trying to overcome a traumatic childhood and all of those barriers that I feel like you put up
And she was trying to figure out how to take him down. And like, who knows how incredible. Yeah.
Who knows?
She, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have been a mega producer, you know, right. Who knows where you're right, where she could have been. But we do know that I do believe that Andre has fuck off to all his money. They do show him meeting up with her mom and her sister at the very end of them connecting and talking. And he's like, I don't know if you guys know this, but he actually married a girl named Lisa Lopez.
Oh, I did yeah. not.
He ends up married and they have like four daughters. So yeah, that's where, and he's like a coach. He coaches like football for like a high school or something. It's yeah, just a pretty basic normal life. But to think about like where those heights, like where they were, man, at that time and yeah. who they were.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah, that's a great one. Wow.
Yeah, I was excited about that one.
Wow, gosh, I feel like that really took me back. Really took me back. Because, you know, I was watching a bunch of Aaliyah videos as well. I went down this rabbit hole where I was watching like Janet Jackson and Aaliyah.
Yeah.
And I remember being sad. They interrupted our school. We had like a school news that would come on in elementary school. And they interrupted it when Aaliyah died. And like we watched, like they were talking about what happened and everything. And I was sad. MTV? I was sad, huh?
I said, did you go to school at MTV?
I mean, you would think, right?
That's a wild interruption.
Isn't that kind of strange? But like, I was sad when I heard that Aaliyah had died. But there was something to me, again, I think it's just who I was, where when Lisa Lopez died, it was even more of a shock to me. It was so like... I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like so deeply.
I think it was
deeply...
like 2002. So you'd been like 12.
Yeah. Cause I was, yes. So yeah, I was in middle school at that point and, or 2002, right? Not 2012.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was in middle school at that point and it was tragic. It was so sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, again, because also we knew that this was a person who was like trying and that was very much apparent.
Yeah, it's a sad story.
No, but it's a good one. It's also like, you know, for me, I think of whenever I hear stories like this, like I was saying, I always think of what would have happened next. Would she have been like this mega producer a la Missy Elliott, or like would she be just like a wellness guru a la Gwyneth Paltrow?
Sure,
you know, like. There's just so many like opportunities and it is bittersweet, but at least she got to end on a high note. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where she was really figuring stuff out.
I think she was starting to really truly come to peace with, well, she was exploring those things, you know what I mean? Which is that in itself is such a growth process. And that's such a part of your 20s is coming to terms with your past, coming to terms with who you were and who you want to be. And so.
Well, what are you guys watching?
I am watching, or I finished actually, The Good Place.
I had never finished the last season, and I think Eric had left off in like season two or whatever. So we went back and rewatched it. What a fucking delight that show is.
I've got to watch it.
Kristen Bell is a treasure, is an absolute treasure. I love her. Ted Danson, incredible. It's so good. It's so good. The cast is great. The story is great. It's just, it made me feel great. I can't say enough great things about Good Place. If you haven't watched it yet, it's on Netflix. Just go watch it. It's four seasons. They're half hour
episodes.
It's
quick and painless.
I'm going to do it. Oh, you sold me entirely.
It's candy. It's so good. It's so, I can't wait. After you watch it, Keegan, you'll be like, this is candy. It's very clever and so.
Oh, I know.
Warm.
Will it fill? And nice. Will it feel like fill that Schitt's Creek void that I feel like is now in my life?
Yes.
All right. Perfect. That's what I need because I have been watching. So I was looking for something to watch, and I saw scrolling through Amazon that there was this show that had a woman in it who was in Last Tango to Halifax, and I was like, all right.
And it's a PBS masterpiece show called Unforgotten. And
loving it already.
There's three seasons. It's so good, actually. There's three seasons. It's like a British crime procedural. It's essentially like Cold Cases, but each season is one case. And they follow it's like they follow, you know, the investigators, and then they follow the lives of like four people who are involved and are like suspects, and you don't know who it is until the end. And each season is, it's a British show, so each season is only six episodes long. And I watched all three seasons. It's so good. I highly recommend it. Nice. I Googled to see, and it did get picked up for a fourth season, so I can't wait to watch it.
Nice.
I also watched, it was like late at night, I could not sleep, and I was on Netflix. And I saw Behind Her Eyes on Netflix.
I've heard that this is good.
I started watching it because I was just like, I just need something to put on. It's also British. It was a fun ride. It was a fun ride. Like, I really liked it. It's a limited series, so it's only like six episodes as well. And I really enjoyed it. And if you want to talk about a tainted love story, you should watch it.
Like, that's what I've heard. I haven't heard anything. I've been staying away from media about it because I don't want to get spoiled. All I know is that it has a wild ending.
The ending's wild. I don't know how I feel about the ending, to be honest, but like, I'm not sure if I love it. But the show itself, I mean, whoever put it together did a really good job because you want to watch the next episode. Like, you're just like, I got to find out what happens, you know?
Okay.
It feels like a book when you're watching it. I don't know if it's based on a book, but it feels like that. It has those vibes that it's based off like a mystery thriller. That's how I felt when I was watching it.
I also want to check out I May Destroy You on HBO.
Oh, hell yeah. Nice. Oh,
I want to watch that next so bad. Yes. So I think that's next on my list.
Alan versus Pharaoh. Alan v. Pharaoh.
Oh,
that's on HBO. Comes out tonight.
Oh, the Woody Allen thing. Oh gosh, we're gonna watch that as well. But, oof,
damn,
gotta be ready for it.
No, the other thing that we're renting tonight that I'm super excited about.
What?
Bar and Star Visit Vista Del Mar.
Oh my god.
Oh fun. Okay. Oh fun. That's just gonna be a good time. Like, I'm with it. I love it. Do it.
I love Kristen Wiig and. So much. So, yeah, same. I'm all same. In for Barb and Star. So I'll let you guys know how it is. Well, if you guys have something we should watch or read or you have stories to tell or anything like that, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.
This is a Glassbox Media Podcast.